Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Off the Mark is a great announcement to make. Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
86 Productions.
And welcome to another episode of Off the Mark, the only podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am your host, Andrew, and I'm joined by my co-host, Aaron. Let's start the show by discussing the most recent news. Colt Cabana, Boom Boom, will be at Money in the Bank. This is big news, Aaron.
Is it big news?
I think it is. Boom Boom's going to be there. You know, boom, it's Colt Cabana.
So this could be big news for two reasons. It may be nothing, though, because he's, you know, from the Chicago area. So he may just be there, you know, and plus his best friend, it's his last night. So he may just be there for that. On the other hand, though, you know, one of the things CM Punk really wanted is he wanted Colt Cabana to be in the WWE. So potentially he could be there to help CM Punk out, you know, to win the title, and then CM Punk re-signs. So that's why this is actually kind of big news.
Well, do you think that this is one of the things that Colt Cabana actually wanted? Or, I'm sorry, CM Punk actually wanted? He wanted to have his buddy back in the WWE, and the only way he'd re-sign is if Colt came in.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that could be one of those things.
It's potentially what it could be. Yep. It really is.
Yep, and we love Colt.com and the Art of Wrestling on iTunes. So Orlando Jordan and Generation Me are both gone from TNA. Impact Wrestling, if you need to know that. So Generation Me was kind of a weird one, though, dude.
Yeah, they actually asked for their release because they felt that they weren't being utilized properly. And that kind of surprised me. I mean, they had some really great matches with Motor City, which I really liked. But I, you know, they had some really weird stuff that they were doing with Jimmy. I mean, over the past year, they wrestled each other and they were doing kind of like the storyline with them, to be honest, actually kind of sucked. They really should have redone that. Repackage that. Orlando Jordan was actually just a budgetary thing. They weren't using him. He didn't bring in any money. Get rid of him.
Exactly. He could have been gone a long time ago. No one could give two craps about him. So anyway, so Impact Wrestling is going to sign more X Division talent. I'm excited. Looks like Sharp Boy is back.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this because we're going to bury it, talk about the Destination X pay per view, and this is one of those things we really like seeing the X Division stars, and to make that division actually mean something again is really big, and that's something we're going to talk about in just a little bit. Now, Andy, so something I want to introduce to Off the Mark is Today I Learned. So this is my Today I Learned segment. I was just cruising around the internet and looking at some funny, like, interesting factoids. Did you know that Vern Gagne at age 83 killed a 97-year-old man by body slamming him?
Really?
And it was at a nursing home because Vern Gagne, he unfortunately, he's not all there anymore. They were saying he was suffering from a multitude of illnesses. And, he decided to body slam the old man. And this was back in like 07. I don't want to like go into great detail about it. Just wanted to kind of report on it. If you want to know more, Google it. Vern Gagne. Check out his Wikipedia page. It'll be on there.
That's amazing.
So, but let's move on to Destination X. Alex Shelley won the Ultimate X match and is the new number one contender for the X title.
Hmm. Yeah, I thought those were pretty good. Not match of the night, but pretty close. He ran over there, and they actually. I got to say one thing about this match. Shannon Moore did something even better. He went to the top. And then came down to try and grab the X, which I thought was pretty cool. Something different. I don't think that's been done. Not sure, but I don't think it has, at least not to my recollection. But anyway, so overall, the match is really good. I didn't think Alex Shelley was going to win, but then I thought about it. I was like, you know what? He doesn't have anything going on right now till I can't think of the other guy's name off the top of my head. But
Chris Sabin.
Thank you. Before he comes back, tough enough's own Chris Sabin. I couldn't believe how good the match was, and I forgot how big the fans love the Motor City. I forgot about that. So I was pretty happy about that. The match overall was really good. Definitely worth my money. So not match of the night, though. That's one thing I actually have to point out. Not match of the night, but damn close.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Austin Aries actually wins the TNA contract match. Great match. It was him, low-key. I'm forgetting the other two guys. One guy was awesome, though. He did the 630.
Oh, yeah.
And he actually nailed it. Yeah, and I was disappointed that he didn't win. Because Austin Aries, I mean he's okay wrestler. I just see him he botched a lot of stuff in Ring of Honor, so I can only imagine how he's going to wrestle in Impact Wrestling. But I like the other kid because he wasn't sloppy; he hit everything perfectly. The one who did the 630, I just can't think of the top what his name is. Top of my head.
No, he was really great, and I mean this really I think was probably match of the night. I really feel like in this match they made me believe that these people were fighting to get that contract. That's what this match made me believe. And I actually kind of wish that they played that up a little bit more. Unfortunately, it was mostly, oh, I respect this guy and I respect this guy. Mm-hmm. And this is all respect here. It's like, that's great. But, you know, you kind of want to have a little bit of a, I'm going to kick your butt and then I'm going to become a TNA, I'm going to be in contract at TNA. I would like to see that. I actually predicted low-key would have won, but Austin Aries, you know, not bad. Hopefully he does. Hopefully they polish him a little bit. And I actually would like to see the other three guys stay. I think that'd be really great. You could do a stable with them if you wanted to.
Oh yeah, and I like the crowd was actually chanting, "Give them all contracts."
Yeah. Now, Andy, I'm sorry to interrupt, but look, the biggest thing that happened that night, Brian Kendrick Spanky is your new X Division champion.
Thank goodness. Abyss lost. I hated this match. I thought it was dumb run in. 1, 2, 3. He wins.
This should have done without the run-ins, in my opinion.
Yeah, if they were done without the run-ins, it would have been okay. Because then all the X Division guys come out, even ones who just wrestled all came out, and were like, hey, hey, you know, great. You know, and I was happy. It was kind of a good moment in Impact Wrestling history. Something that it'll always be remembered is this. And this actually pay-per-view overall was probably one of the best I've seen. So anyway, so AJ Styles and Christopher Daniel are in the main event. And I have to admit, this one definitely stole the show. It was so good. I wish I'd have gave him like an extra 10 minutes. I mean, it was just such a great match. It just sucks. You know, I was hoping Christopher Daniels would have won. But unfortunately, AJ Styles did the what move did he do?
It's a Spinal Tap.
Yeah, they're actually chanting Spinal Tap, which I thought was really cool.
Mm-hmm. And, I agree. I think if you let Christopher Daniels win, I think it would have helped him out a little bit more. I think it would have helped elevate him. And you could actually, at that point in time, really push him closer to the main event. I think that would have been a really good idea. To be honest, though, I know, and I'll get some slack for this, I thought this match wasn't as good as it could have been. And I really feel that if you would have put Samoa Joe in there, like they were kind of rumored to do, I think the match would have been better. I really feel that. And I'll get slack for it. I understand that. But in my opinion, I think that AJ Daniels, Samoa Joe, no matter who wins, would have been a better match.
Yeah, well, you're wrong on that. So and the fact that this was match of the night, regardless, it was match of the night. Could have been better? Yeah, every match could be better. But this one was just great, I thought. I thought that this was a perfect way to end the pay-per-view. A pay-per-view that was really good that if you – I actually went to a bar to watch it. But if you would have actually bought it at home, it would have been definitely worth it. It would definitely worth your money, whatever it is, $50 or whatever. It would definitely be worth every penny. So that's what I think about the pay-per-view. I thought it was really good. What do you think?
You know, thoughts on the pay-per-view. I almost wonder if having all X Division isn't as good of an idea. I think that the Destination X pay-per-view, it should focus on the X Division, but it shouldn't be every match. I think you should have three matches, X Division, and the main event should be for the TNA title. That's just my opinion on it. You know, I mean, you can have the tag matches. And, you know, were there even any tag X Division matches? You know, I don't remember. I don't think that there were. And that's a missed opportunity. You had singles matches, and then you had a two four ways, one Ultimate X, and one just normal four way. You could have had a triple threat in there. You could have had a tag team. You know, could have mixed it up a little. Pay-per-view was good, though. You know, I would recommend – really recommend it. But anyway, Andy, let's move on to Raw. Look, let's face it. This Raw, entire focus is on CM Punk. And, you know, when they open the show with him, brilliant, brilliant move. He comes out with that megaphone. I mean, he had that crowd eating out of his hands. He turned face in a night. I mean, he really did. What he did, 2 weeks ago, he turned face. So, Andy, what did you think of the promo at the start of the show?
I thought it was genius when he came out with a megaphone. Genius. And I actually think that a lot of this was scripted this time. A lot of it was. I think he had some leeway in what he could say, but this was pretty much at least an outline of what they were going to talk about. And you could tell. There were so many moments. The fact, when John Cena came out, right, to interrupt it?
Yeah.
When he came out, you could just tell it was all that started. When he came out, that was all scripted.
Of course, yeah.
And, he could say what he could have told the crowd, I'm going to go do bad things to your family. And they would have been like, sweet. I mean, he could have said whatever he wanted to, and it would have been okay. So I got to say, this is probably another great promo by CM Punk, which, what's to say now that they haven't re-signed him? I think they have. I think that at some point over the weekend he had to re-sign. I got a good feeling that he did. And I think this whole thing with having his friend come in, Luke Gallows still, when he said that, but anyways, I'm getting ahead of myself. But yeah.
You are getting a little ahead, yeah. But I think the promo was genius also. I mean, it goes without saying. And I mean I'll talk a little bit more later on. But another thing that happened in the show, the only other thing that really happened in the show, there's a six-man tag match to build up Money in the Bank, but it didn't include Rey and it didn't include Alberto Del Rio. They're trying to build up the Money in the Bank, but you know what? The entire focus has been on CM Punk. Are those secondary now?
It might be. I mean, CM Punk made it. It made it his pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. The participants in the Money in the Bank. I mean, I have a couple ideas what they can do, but right now it's about CM Punk. It's not about Money in the Bank anymore. They could have had this been last month's pay-per-view, which no one cared about, and people would have cared about it. But not only do you get Money in the Bank, but this is almost a WrestleMania type of pay-per-view. This, you could actually say it's close to being like WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal. And the thing is, the WWE didn't do this. CM Punk did.
I know.
Because of that promo that he cut in Vegas, this is what's happened. I mean, we're going to, there's so many things that it's going to happen because of this. So, realistically, it's not Money in the Bank. It's, what's CM Punk going to do?
Which, that leads into the final segment, which was Punk, Vince, and Cena. They had their segment, it was Vince and Punk at first, then Cena comes out a little bit later. But, one of the things that happened in there that wasn't scripted, if it was, great job, but Vince called Punk Phil, which is his name, Philip, So he was like, Phil, well, I mean, I guess I can call you that, right? And I mean, Punk talked about ice cream bars during that, and the and the crowd starts chanting it.
We want ice cream bars.
Yeah. And like he blasts Triple H, talks about Chaperone 2 and how it would be better because it wouldn't have him in there.
Exactly.
He hit so many great things. Punk, and then Cena comes out, to be honest, kind of hurts it a little bit, in my opinion. He kind of hurts it. My question to you, did the segment go on a little too long?
No, I thought it was perfect. I wish that he would have complained a lot more because I like the fact that, they had the Colt Cabana chance, which I thought was awesome because he's not very well known in Boston, but the crowd all of a sudden knew him. And then I didn't like the fact, I think they were pumping in the ice cream chant again when they started saying Colt Cabana. It sounded like that they were doing that as well. And a couple of the other chants, looks like other things were pumped through the speakers. At least there's no reports of it, but that's how it came off to me at least.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was fine, but I like how CM Punk ended it. And in a way, it's like, did he really not? Is he not re-signed? It gives you that thing. He's like, I'm tired. I'm just tired.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, the thing is, this is huge for wrestling because people are talking about it again. And Punk said something at the very beginning. They only talk about wrestling if somebody dies.
Yep.
And then he said, you know, and he said, or if it's him. And really, it's, you know, doing something like that, that is so, wow, is this real? You know? And so I think he's really done wrestling a great service.
Yeah. And yes, and he has. But it's like, it's almost like, it's kind of bittersweet. It's like, great. You know, it's like, you're at the top of the mountain and you're like, this is like, or you're going up and you're like, you know, maybe wrestling's, you know, coming back. Maybe wrestling's coming back again. You know, it's not, you know, they're pushing the PG limit. And CM Punk's been the guy who just started doing it. And he did it 2 weeks ago. And now it's like, and you know, and he came out, and he even said, he goes, I'm just tired. He's tired of it. So, but I'm repeating myself anyways. But yeah, overall, the segment was great. I can't wait. I can't wait for Money in the Bank. So let's go on to SmackDown. So Rhodes tells Ted that if he loses one more match, there will be retaliation, which I thought was pretty funny because it's Cody Rhodes. You know, he wears a mask. It's funny.
He told me he's going to put a bag over his head then. It's like, first of all, this, I don't know. I know you like the gimmick. Honestly, I'm kind of getting sick of it, but that's just me. Is Ted going to turn face, do you think?
Yeah, he's going to end up turning face out of this because Cody can be a heel, you know, but I almost wish that Ted would stay a heel because he's like the perfect heel. He can say he's rich. He can get anything he wants. He can just, you know, he should do the whole thing like, I can buy this, I can buy that. I wish they'd push it because I think it'd be great. Great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, will he turn face? Unfortunately, yeah, Ted will.
I hope he doesn't. I think it's unfortunate that you are going to get rid of a heel tag team.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, so it looks like they're going to start doing the Sin Cara versus Wade Barrett. It's in the works. It has to be. And this just helps me eliminate two guys that are going to win at Money in the Bank because neither of those guys are going to win. I'm just positive of this now. Because why have either one win if they're going to be feuding them? Because, you know, Sin Cara's not ready for that championship belt yet. Wade Barrett, maybe. But, you know, when you think about it, you're like, well, they're not going to win either one of those guys. So it narrows it down pretty fast. Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan or Cody Rhodes?
No. Honestly, I have no idea what they're going to do with the SmackDown Money in the Bank.
Bryan's going to win.
If he does, I'd be surprised. You know, let's move on to one of the final segments. I mean, obviously, we could talk about Randy Orton and Christian, but look, let's face it. We've been talking about them now for the past, 20 episodes.
Boring.
So at the end, the second to last match, SmackDown, Justin Gabriel defeated Heath Slater. And here's another thing. Why are they trying to break up tag teams?
I don't know. I mean, I think I said it before a couple times. I think Justin Gabriel could actually be a great singles guy, like a great one. Because, all right, nothing against Heath Slater, but he looks like the Wendy. He looks like the Wendy's. Wendy from Wendy's. I'm sorry. He looks pretty much. He has more of a comic look to him, if that makes sense. And, you know, like he's a comedian, like kind of like Colt Cabana is. Justin Gabriel looks like he's a tough guy. He comes down there. He holds himself very well. Very polished in the ring. I haven't seen him botch. I don't think I've actually seen him botch anything, which is kind of a big deal because everyone else botches stuff. But I think Justin Gabriel would be a great face. Not much of heel. What do you think?
You know, I think I kind of agree with you on that. I think that he will be a good face as a heel. I never thought that he looked like a good heel. But I don't know. I just don't like the idea of them breaking up another tag team. I really don't.
Well, no, it's dumb because they're doing stuff with the Usos now, which I think is great. They're letting them do their dance before the match, which is great. Some people are like, oh, that's so stupid. No, it actually is kind of entertaining. You know, like they come out there, they do their thing, and, you know, they go on from there. So I'm pretty happy about that. Aaron, do you have a blog yet?
I do, Andy.
You do have a blog. You know what you should do? You should go over to HostGator and get one, though. And if you do, you need to use the coupon code OFFTHEMARK, and you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. That's what you need to do in all seriousness. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Impact Wrestling. Bobby Roode gets a big win over Samoa Joe and the Pope. What'd you think?
I thought it was, you know, pretty good. But I, you know, I have a question for you, Andy.
What?
Is Robert Roode, is he getting a huge push, or Samoa Joe being to push that far down? He's getting buried. I mean,
I know. Why is Samoa Joe losing now? That's, I don't get it. I just don't get it. The fact that he's losing to Robert Roode, I call him Bobby for some reason. I don't know why. But,
well, they're calling him Bobby now, so
okay,
I don't care.
Okay, well, anyways.
He's double R.
Okay.
Yeah, no, he gives the double R spine buster, right?
All right.
So why are they calling him Bobby if, you know, they're the BR spine buster? That sounds stupid.
But I don't like the fact that you put Samoa Joe in this match and he didn't need to be in it. What is this going to do?
They're trying to do the Bound for Glory series, which we haven't talked about yet. And I think that, you know, it's enough time has passed that we can talk about it. And I think we should, like, probably next week, I think would be a really good idea. So let's put that on the docket for next week.
We'll talk about next week.
Yeah.
And we should also go over, like, the point system and all that stuff. So,
yeah, I don't really like what they've been doing with Samoa Joe. In my opinion, I would actually, I think Samoa Joe, if I were in his shoes, I would ask for my release, because I think that they're not using him properly and they need to.
And see, someone like him could come over to the WWE and be a heel right away with CM Punk.
No. They would ruin him. Look at what they did to Taz. Taz was ruined in the WWE. Ruined.
Okay, here's my thing with Taz. He was a small guy that could quote unquote beat people up. When you have guys who are a foot taller than him and bigger than him, it's kind of not believable. And Taz became an announcer. He's hurt. He got hurt. He became an announcer. And he did a great job at that. I got to give him credit. Taz is a great announcer. But that's it. I mean, he was a great wrestler. He was an ECW-made guy. He was ECW. Once ECW was done, he could have gone to WCW and maybe done it. But he couldn't go to the WWE and do it. That's my thing. So...
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Austin Aries faced Shannon Moore in what we just should call botchamania. I mean, Matthew Gregg's just going to do this entire match and just, because it's so bad. And I said something about Austin Aries earlier. His main problem, I think, is that he botches a lot of stuff because I think he's too antsy, if that makes sense. That's how I feel about him. I think he's a great wrestler, but I think sometimes he gets so ahead of himself and so excited that he just messes up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what did you think of the match?
Oh, I mean, you pointed out. I mean, the problem is that it had too many botches, and you know, botches are going to happen in wrestling, but unfortunately, you're going to have people who will take too many risks, and they'll just keep going and keep going and keep going, and you know, they'll make mistakes, and that's the problem.
Right. So. But
I don't know. I mean, I kind of feel like they may have hired the wrong guy. And I'm going to kind of, you know, say that again. I really kind of feel that way.
I think you're right. But Kurt Angle doesn't care who he will face at Hardcore Justice. He says that he's going to win no matter what. Who are they going to have him face then?
Well, Andy, since you asked, here's the thing, though, I'm going to say before that. They booked this properly. Angle comes out, he said that he's gonna kick butt at Hardcore Justice, which is the way you do it, you know. That's smart. So, but the thing is, we now know that Sting is your new TNA World Heavyweight Champion. What do you think about giving him the belt again?
Stupid. Why have Ken Anderson lose it? That was the dumbest move they've made in a long time. Why? There is no explanation behind this. Absolutely none. Stupid. This is bad booking. It's like, who booked it? Oh, Hogan and Bischoff? Yeah. Or Vince Russo, who Hogan blames every time.
Vince Russo, which, you know, it's something actually we didn't even talk about in the news segment, which we should. We should have. But this is stupid. This honestly is really, really stupid because you're throwing the belt around like it's meaningless. When Jeff Hardy won it back from Ken Anderson, that was like, whoa, that's crazy that happened. But to have him win it and then a month later lose it again, and then, you know, why? Why do that? Why bother? You know, just don't take the belt off of him, or let him hold on to the belt for another month. have Kurt Angle win it next month. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But don't take the belt off and throw it around like it's, you know, an IC title, you know, or a TV title. I mean, you're exactly. making it worthless.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so I don't want to talk about Impact Wrestling anymore. I want to talk about our weekly topic. I think it's a great one that you brought up. All this is all you. The WWE has lost some major talent over the last 2 years. And this is these are some big names. You know, first one, of course, Edge. Edge was a weird thing. He actually got hurt. He cannot wrestle anymore. Feel bad for him, but, you know, that's a big guy. I mean, he was getting pushed. A big deal.
Yeah, he. I mean, he was, you know, he's a main eventer. And unfortunately, he just, he could not wrestle anymore. It was just a medical thing. It wasn't even a, oh, I'm sick of wrestling, or, you know, my time has come. He would have wrestled another 10 years probably. He just, he could not do it, though. And it's so unfortunate.
I know, it's really sad. And Chris Jericho is another one. He actually left, but he left on his own terms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't. He could have stayed wrestling. He did not sign a contract, which is Johnny Ace's fault, of course, as we found out now. So with him leaving, it was a big deal. At first, I didn't think it was, but when you look at wrestling now, it is a big deal because he could be the top heel right now if he wanted to.
Yeah. Oh, he would be the top heel. He would have a program going on with Randy Orton over on SmackDown because SmackDown needs a huge superstar over there, and I like Christian, I really do, but he's not Chris Jericho, you know, he's not, and that's the problem.
But you know what? Yeah, you're right. But I don't think Jericho would be over on SmackDown. I actually think that he would be on Raw still.
Let's just... I don't know. They have a lot of people over there. They need help on SmackDown.
Yeah, they do. And Batista is the other one. He left. I him leaving, I didn't care. But he is a big name, and he was doing something in WWE. But I flat out don't care. He's gone. He's one of the few people that I just don't care.
Oh, I don't care either. I mean, I don't think he's a very good wrestler, but he was a big name, and people cheered for him. You know, as a face, and booed him as a heel. He was a really great talent, and it's unfortunate that, you know, he's gone. They couldn't keep him, and he doesn't want to come back either. That's the thing. He's even said, "I hate the PG product." He wants Attitude Era.
Yes, I completely agree with that. So, anyway, so Jeff Hardy, him leaving, kind of a big deal as well. He went to Impact Wrestling and, of course, has had his issues lately.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that is a big, I mean, we're only talking big names. Obviously, Matt left too, but we're just talking the major players. And Jeff Hardy was a WWE and a World Heavyweight Champion. And to have somebody leave like that is kind of a big deal. You know, that's somebody that they could have kept there. And he could be wrestling Randy Orton. He could be wrestling CM Punk.
Yes. And then JBL's another one. JBL's another one that could be... I mean, he was doing great. And the fact that, you know, he... I think he got, a retirement match, if I'm correct. But the thing is, he actually just left. And the thing is, he was actually one of the top guys then.
Yeah, he was a top heel.
Yeah, and it's just sad. So, Shawn Michaels, it was his time to leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing to say. It was his time to leave. Undertaker really hasn't left. He's just not showing up on TV.
It's they're like, saying he's gone, though. They're saying,
hey,
he's gone.
Hey, we're going to pay you $1 million a year, and you're going to wrestle three times a year, and that's it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he gets paid $333,000, repeating, of course, just to wrestle three matches, and that's it. Well, nope.
And here's the thing, though. Here's the big thing, though. Even if he isn't retired, he's not on TV regularly. You know, you are not going to the arenas to see Undertaker because he's not going to be there.
Right. And same thing with Triple H, but Triple H is a corporate man now, so he gets to be in the big WWE jet all the time and go to the wrestling events. So he's gone.
pretty much, because same thing with him. You are not going to the arenas to see Triple H. Right now, you are going to the arenas to see Cena and Orton.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty much it. And I could care less to see Orton right now. I don't think they're doing a very good job with his character. You know, and we go to the women now. Mickie James is the biggest one that left, and she just didn't want to be with the WWE anymore. It just boils down to that. There's no other way you can explain it. And I feel, and it sucks for the women's division really, because she was a great wrestler. And there's not that many over in Impact Wrestling right now. So her going over there, she overshines them all.
Yeah, well, I mean, Impact has better women's wrestling. I mean, I've never really cared for it, and it's not because I'm sexist by any means. But they just, you know, you have a lot of botches, a lot more botches. But Impact Wrestling, you have much better women's wrestlers. And over at WWE, I can't even tell you the last match I sat through because they're just – they are horrific. They're unwatchable. They really are. And it's unfortunate. It really is. But she's a huge one. You also have Victoria or Tara over at Impact Wrestling. Mm-hmm. You know, she left, and that was also a big departure. But she's now wrestling over at TNA, and she's putting on good matches with Mickie James.
That is correct. That is correct. And then also Michelle McCool, she left because she wants to start a family. And mm-hmm. this was very under the radar, I thought. I was surprised on this. But, you know, her and Undertaker want to have kids. They want to have little Undertakers. So, and then the other one also that was really weird was Serena left because she wasn't living the straight-edge style is what we always heard. But it was just really weird that she left. What was the point of actually having her leave when she just did one thing wrong?
Yeah, and the reason we even bring this up, she wasn't a women's champion. I understand that. But here's the big thing, though. She was unique. And in the women's – look, let's face it. Look at the women's division, and a lot of them are so interchangeable. You know, you have the Bella twins, which is interesting because they're twins, you know. Beth Phoenix is more of a China clone. And Serena is – she's bald. That's unique. You don't have many bald women. The last one was Molly Holly. And she hasn't been in the WWE for, like, what, 5 years, 10 years, you know?
5 years, well, not 5 years, but, actually, 06. Yeah. I just watched a shoot interview.
So, but, you know, the thing is, she was unique. She had a unique look. She looked different. That's big. That's actually really big. So I feel that's a big departure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I completely agree. And this brings up the point now with Chicago-made Chick Magnet or what was the other one? Cookie Monster Punk leaving, you know, brings up a lot of questions. Is it the guy who took over for JR? Is it his fault? Is it Johnny Ace's fault? I mean, this is what it boils down to, no matter how you look at it. Is it Johnny Ace's fault? Because they are not building up certain guys properly. And there's guys, like, look at Rey Mysterio. You sign him to at least another 2-year deal, and he'll and if he knows that, hey, I'm gonna wrestle for 2 more years and I'm gonna get a legend contract, he will bust his butt for the next 2 years, put on some great matches, great feuds, put a lot of guys over, and it's gonna be great. But you know, what if like 2 or 3 of these guys get injured? You have no one. You, and especially if John Cena and Randy Orton were to legitimately get hurt and they were out for at least 6 months, the WWE is screwed. They're completely screwed.
They would have to combine. If one of them got injured, in my opinion, they would have to combine.
I think you could get away with Cena, but if Orton, yes, if Orton did get hurt legitimately, where he couldn't even be on TV, he was that bad, there would be some issues, some major issues. And then you have to start rebooking stuff. So, so this really brings up the point. Are they going to lose all their star power now? That's what it boils down to.
Yeah. I mean, and realistically, look, let's face it. The two biggest stars there, you have Cena, you have Orton. And after that, CM Punk has rose to the top. And then who? Like maybe Christian? And yeah, they're pushing Alberto Del Rio down our throat. So, you know, you might put him up there. People are forgetting about The Miz. I mean, without the title, he's actually kind of been a little forgettable, in my opinion. They have to make somebody, and they have to make them huge. And they need somebody that they can put up there that will rival Cena or at least rival Orton. But they don't have anybody.
Alex Riley.
Maybe.
As a face, he is huge right now. You have to ride.
And he is huge.
That's the thing. They are not riding him. They're utilizing. They're doing an okay job right now. But if they want the momentum to keep going, he has to win Money in the Bank. If he wins Money in the Bank, he is going to be a full-fledged superstar right away. Because people love him right now. Especially if him and Miz keep feuding, it's going to be amazing. Because he could actually, technically, the Miz could cost him his title.
Yeah, you could do a lot of stuff with it. You could have the Money in the Bank contract on the line in a match, you know. You could do so much with that. And I actually agree with you. I think that having Alex Riley win might be the best bet. I honestly feel
crowd's going to go nuts, especially if he takes a couple big bumps, which I think he should if he's going to win. I think anyone who wins that match should take a couple big bumps. If he does, you know he's going to win. And that's going to be a big deal for the WWE a long way down the road because he is going to be then a made guy. And R-Truth, you know, it depends on what they're going to do with him next. Because, you know, with John Morrison hopefully coming back in the next few months, if R-Truth can still be a big heel over there, you know, I see that they're making guys, but you can continue to make a lot of main eventers real fast in the next few months if you do this properly. You got anything else you want to talk
about?
And
they have to. Really have to. That's a big thing.
There's not a like, maybe we should do this. No, you have to right now. You need to have a backup plan in case a couple guys get hurt. Especially in the Money in the Bank. You can have a couple guys go down, really. And, you know, what if John Cena takes a bad bump, you know, in the match against, you know, Chick Magnet? You never know.
You know, and that's the problem. Look, let's face it. I've said before, I really feel like you need to combine the rosters, and I still feel that. I still feel that way. I think that if you don't combine the rosters, you are an injury away right now from losing, you know, your top talent. And Rey Mysterio, he said before, and it's been a rumor, that he's going to be leaving soon. And so if CM Punk leaves, if Rey leaves, one injury, and that's all she wrote. And we are talking about a whole new wrestling.
Yes,
new wrestling.
Oh, yeah. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show on OffTheMark86. I want to thank Section 86 and the 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.